Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
This is All of It. I'm Allison Stewart. As we find ourselves in the last month of 2020, thank goodness, we are presenting to you conversations inspired by the top likes of the year on our Instagram page at All of It WNYC. Our July post about the passing of John Lewis made it to our top 10. His life's work was captured in the documentary John Lewis, Good Trouble. While growing up in Troy, Alabama, the third of 10 children in a sharecropping family, he was encouraged to go to school, not to work in the fields like his siblings, although we learn he did like feeding the chickens an awful lot. By the time he was 17, young John Lewis had sent a letter to Martin Luther King Jr., hoping to become more involved in the protests for civil rights. King's response? A round-trip bus ticket to Montgomery, Alabama. Let's listen to a clip from the film, Good Trouble.
And I saw Martin Luther King Jr. and Ralph Abernathy standing behind a desk. I was so scared. My heart started beating so fast. And Dr. King said, "Are you the boy from Troy? Are you John Lewis?" And I said, "Dr. King, I am John Robert Lewis." I gave my whole name. But he still called me the boy from Troy each time he would see me. He would say, "How's the boy from Troy doing?"
John Lewis went on to march with Dr. King and embarked on his own political journey. Though his career has involved becoming the representative for Georgia's 5th Congressional District and campaigning for progressives like Stacey Abrams and Beto O'Rourke, it also involved fighting the dismantling of the 1965 Voting Rights Act, severe voter suppression, and the inauguration of who he believes is the worst president for civil rights in his lifetime. John Lewis, Good Trouble is directed by Dawn Porter. It's available to watch now on HBO Max or rent via video on demand. We spoke with Dawn Porter when the film premiered in July at the height of the protests for racial justice and just before John Lewis passed on July 17th. I asked Dawn why it was important to revisit the work of the late congressman, especially during this moment.
Well, Congressman Lewis has had over six decades of activism. And I think while a lot of us are figuring out what's the right response in this moment to our ongoing civil rights struggles, mm-hmm. the congressman has been kind of leading the way for all of that time. And I love that you started with the fact that he wrote a letter to Dr. King, where he met with Dr. King and Thurgood Marshall he wanted to integrate a segregated university. And, the fire really began for him that early, but he's still fighting. He's still here. And I think the lesson of his life is a lesson of resilience, but of also of vigilance. And I think a lot of us could, learn something and kind of take comfort in the fact that we still have a lot of good representatives in the government.
Can you explain where the title came from? Good Trouble?
I can. one of the things that is so remarkable is, you have to remember John Lewis was raised during the time of Emmett Till, when a black man even noticing a white woman could literally get you killed. And so his parents, his mother in particular, would say, he would challenge segregation, and he would say, "Why are my textbooks, 20 years out of date? Why can't I get a library card?" He wanted a library card, and he was denied a library card in his local library. And his mother would just say, "Boy, that's the way it is. Don't get in the way. Don't get in trouble." And eventually he turned that saying on its head by saying, there is some trouble that's good trouble, necessary trouble, he calls it. And so that became kind of a catchphrase for him for the rest of his life.
There's a really poignant moment in the film where there are these videos of young activists when about the era when John Lewis was a young man being an activist, and they are sort of trying to train them for how to react when they are faced with people who hate them, with white activists, and they have and they're called, you know, they surround the young men and women and they call them the N-word and they push them around and they're yelling in their faces, and this is an exercise obviously for them to be resilient. And then Congressman Lewis tells you, Dawn, I've never seen this footage before.
Yeah.
It's so, first of all, why did you want to show it to him as a filmmaker? Why did you want to show it to him? And then how did you feel when you heard that response?
There's so much in that question. And I mm-hmm. love that you pointed out that section because it's one of my favorite in the film. You know, one of my objectives as a filmmaker, as an African-American woman, was to point out how strategic the civil rights activists were. We all credit John Lewis and the other activists for being brave, but language matters. And what they also were, you know, John Lewis is a political genius. I mean, to think about the audacity of challenging segregation when that's all you've ever known, and when that's been in place for 100 years, to challenge the segregation of Nashville department stores was, you know, kind of breathtaking. So I wanted to show that those protests were not accidental. They were quite intentional. They trained with Reverend Jim Lawson, who, by the way, in his 90s, still leads nonviolent workshops today. Mm. But so they trained for months before they ever sat in on a lunch counter. So I really wanted to highlight like that planning. But for, you know, a person who's lived his life in public for so long, Congressman Lewis is often asked about these kind of seminal moments in his life. And as a filmmaker, I was thinking, how do I get him to give us details we may not have heard as often before? And we were filming with him in Alabama. We were at Bryan Stevenson's remarkable civil rights museum there. And so we're touring the museum with the congressman, and he comes upon an exhibit that has footage of him. And so he's watching the exhibit, and he said, I can't believe that's me. I just can't believe that's me. And he turns to a person who was touring the museum. It was a teenager. And he says, I just don't remember that I did all this. And he starts telling a story that I'd never heard him tell before. And I thought, can you imagine being in a museum and watching an exhibit and the person in the exhibit is there with you, telling you about it? So it gave me the idea that maybe that's what we should do. I wanted to recreate that experience. So we made Jessica Congdon, the fabulous editor of this film, we made several archival mini films for him. We rented a theater in Washington, D.C., the Arena Stage. And we constructed 3 giant screens and dimmed the lights in the theater and had him sit there and watch, you know, kind of the some highlights of his life. And then I asked him to tell me the stories of those moments. And that's when you see him directly addressing to camera what he's seeing. So he's definitely speaking about some of the particular footage that he hadn't seen. But I'll tell you, Allison, I think that he said that to me kind of in the middle of our taping. We taped for several hours. Mm-hmm. And as I've thought about it, I think he's also referring to the fact that it was all of these moments taken together and he was watching them. And that's kind of how we see him. You know, when you think of Congressman Lewis, you think of all of the things he's done. And I think he was seeing them all put together that way. And it was pretty emotional, actually. You know, he was just shy of his 80th birthday. And, you know, we're living in this politically kind of, you know, contorted time. So it was, as a documentary filmmaker, as a person who loves history, it was really quite a moment that I won't ever forget.
In the film, we see John Lewis read, Congressman Lewis, recalling his childhood quite a bit. And also his constituents love to come up and talk to him about their lives. And people come up and, you know, I think for a lot of Americans, you know, one woman comes up and starts describing about how she picked cotton as a young woman and the baby in the family just hung out in the sack. She didn't get to do it, but the older sisters had to. It's, and I think a lot of people, a lot of Americans probably think that's way, you know, years and years ago. But those are living, breathing human beings who can show up at a rally and talk to Congressman Lewis about it. It's just not that long ago. So what do you think we learn about the congressman by learning about that part of his life and his ability to connect with people about that part of their lives in the year 2020?
It's just quintessential, Mr. Lewis. He loves talking to people. He loves connecting with people. And those were, you know, three African-American sisters. And, you know, rather than run from, you know, the time, a time in his life that was really difficult. I mean, like, you know, picking cotton on a farm in Alabama as a way to make a living for your family was, you know, not an easy life. But I think that he's proud that his family was able to make a living, was able to support so many children. Mm-hmm. But he also raises it as, you know, those women are in their 70s. That is not that long ago that people were, you know, that was some of the only work people could find. But I also think it tells you something about him as a person. You know, he loves speaking with people. He loves when people come up and, you know, share their experiences. I think it fortifies him. He's a very social person. He's a very kind person. You know, some well-known people endure the public coming up to them, and I think John Lewis kind of revels in it. I think he feels, you know, fortunate to be in the job that he's in, and he likes, you know, he likes interacting with the public, so...
Even though his siblings said, you know, John should go to school, we're gonna work on the farm. He loves chickens. He likes feeding the chickens. He collects chickens still to this day. What's going on with the chickens?
You know, he started as a young boy preaching. He wanted to be a preacher, like so many, you know, African American boys, particularly in the South. And so, you know, he didn't really have a flock, a human flock, but he did have these chickens, and he would, you know, speak to them, and, you know, he felt like they were really listening. So he's got a lot of jokes about it. But over the years, you know, he has amassed quite a collection of chickens. People give him, you know, little ceramic figurines. When we went to his house in D.C., someone had given him a beautiful antique birdcage, and he says, so I turned it into a chicken house. So the chickens are really important. And, you know, it's a story that he likes to tell. And over the years, he has many staff members who have been with him for many, many years. And he tells the story so often that they all know the story. So there's a part in the film where we have them all recite the story together. And it's, you know, it's, I just love that there's this kind of, they have this, you know, collective in joke. But no one is able to poke fun at himself better than John Lewis, which is something I also really love about him.
My guest is Dawn Porter, the director of John Lewis Good Trouble. And let's just talk a little bit about that kind of good trouble. We see quite a bit in the film. You get a real historical perspective on the nonviolent protest that he was involved in and so many young Americans, black and white, were involved in. Let's play this scene where protesters are choosing to stay in jail after they have been arrested over paying bail. Let's take a listen.
On February 27th, 80 Nashville students were arrested out of over 300 who were participating in the sit-ins that day. As the students were confronted with the choice of paying a $50 fine or spending over a month in jail, each of them chose jail. Their attitude reflected the words of Reverend Martin Luther King, "We will meet the capacity to inflict suffering with the capacity to endure suffering. Do what you will to us, but we will wear you down."
We felt unity, we felt power, we felt strength. I don't think any of us will ever forget it.
What's something that we see from that time of John Lewis's life in his work today?
You know, that clip, and you're just thrilling me this afternoon because you're picking so many of my favorite parts of this movie. One of the things that I think you see from those activists is their persistence. And it is not a small thing. When you think about what jail meant for a Black person in the South in the 60s, it was dangerous. I mean, they were beaten. They were not given food and water. So those students, for them each to choose jail, and they had people who were willing to pay their bail, but they had agreed that they were all going to go to jail to make a point, and they all did that. So these are very young people, like 19, 20 years old, sitting in jail for a month at a time. This was not a situation where you went in and you got a fine and you got out in a couple of days or a couple of hours. They were there, you know, sometimes for as long as a month. So I think, you know, we live in a society today where we want things to happen right away. And John Lewis and the other activists, their message is good change and lasting change can take time. But that doesn't mean it's not worth, you know, pursuing. And if you're on the right path, you should stay on that path. I think many of us have learned in the last, you know, particularly the last 3 years, about the vigilance that we need. Our democracy needs our attention and care and participation. And I think that that is the lesson of Mr. Lewis's life.
There's a scene with Congressman Ayanna Pressley, says, where she and some of the other sort of young, you know, next generation civil rights activists were protesting outside the White House, and some of them wanted to yell shame, and Congressman Lewis stopped them from doing it. So what kind of leader has he been for the next generation of leaders?
You know, I think he has so much more in common with them than most people realize. I mean, if you think about it, at one time he was the outside agitator. He was the person pushing for change faster. You know, at the time that he began his career in activism, the NAACP was the, you know, old guard, and they were saying, slow down, don't do things too quickly. And he and the other young people said, you know, no, things have to change and they have to change now. So he understands the fervor, the intensity, and the desire for, you know, immediate action. But he also understands what, you know, kind of the role of a congressperson is. When you're a congressperson writing the laws, you want to make sure that those are, that that's done right. You want to make sure that you have buy-in from both sides of the aisle. And I think that that is part of the reason why he seeks out, you know, he sought out Representative Ocasio-Cortez, Ilhan Omar, Representative Pressley, Rashad Tlaib. You know, he enjoys kind of mentoring and teaching that next generation. So I know that it meant quite a bit to him to have their, you know, attention. And I do know that, you know, they all agreed to speak about what he meant to them.
You did include a part of the film where we see another side of John Lewis, the side of John Lewis that is a politician. He's involved in a fairly difficult and tense race against a friend of his, Julian Bond, who seems, and from the footage, seems truly hurt by some of the things that happened during the race. Why was that important to include?
I feel like that is a little known part of the congressman's history. You know, today, I don't think it would even merit a tweet. What he did is he called for Julian Bond to take a drug test. There have been a lot of rumors that Julian Bond was using illicit drugs. And, you know, as politicians, they were very much aligned on policy. In fact, they had campaigned together. They had worked together for voting rights. Their families were very close. So there wasn't that much difference between them in terms of policy, and John Lewis turned to the personal. He was criticized for that. The race was described as nasty. And, you know, I felt like it's important to show that even people who we have, you know, are now lionizing have made choices that can be criticized. Nobody is perfect. Everyone has, you know, their own kind of you know, past that perhaps they'd rather we not focus on. But also, if we're going to tell the story of Black people, let's tell the full story. Let's tell you how you actually get there. I also think, as a filmmaker, for me, it feels to me like maybe you involve the audience in that decision. Because even while we may be tissing and shaking our heads about his doing something with his longtime friend, we are all still grateful that he is in the Congress. So what decision would we really have made being faced with that same choice? I think it's interesting, like, as a person who loves political science and politics and history, I think it's an important question to ask yourself.
That was my conversation with director Dawn Porter about her documentary John Lewis, Good Trouble, available to stream now on HBO Max or rent through video on demand. Coming up, my conversation with director Nadia Hallgren about her Netflix documentary Becoming, about the life of former First Lady Michelle Obama. More after the break.
NYC Now delivers the most up-to-date local news from WNYC and Gothamist every morning, midday, and evening. With three updates a day, listeners get breaking news, top headlines, and in-depth coverage from across New York City. By sponsoring programming like NYC Now, you'll reach our community of dedicated listeners with premium messaging in an uncluttered audio experience. Visit sponsorship.wnyc.org to get in touch and find out more.